one verse, say, Lord. But it might not be, man. I don't mean it is. It's one verse for a text, okay? All right. If you want to stand as we read the scripture, of course, it's a familiar verse of scripture, and I hope it's encouragement to us. Amen. Tonight, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me, and the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Let's go to the Lord in a word of prayer. Dear Father, we thank you for the privilege of prayer, and thank you for this time you've given us, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for the good move of the Spirit of God already tonight, Lord, and this morning, God. You've been so good to us, Lord. I pray, God, that you would just bless all the different needs, Lord, those that are sick and those that are recuperating, and just touch, Lord, and do that needs to be done in each life, Lord. And we pray, God, that we'd be a witness for you, as already been said. And God, we'd see more folks saved in the days to come. And God, I pray you'd bless all the revival meetings going on. And God, we thank you, Lord, for a stir of revival around here, Lord. I pray you'd just continue to bless in our services, Lord. And bless us, Lord, as we meet together, Lord, that we'd draw something from your word, that we'd go on to be a blessing and a help to others. And God, just be what you'd have us to be. Be in your will as we preach this morning. Just find your will and be busy in it, Lord. God, I pray you just help us, Lord, and bless your word tonight, Lord. And all that's done, we thank you. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. And this passage of Scripture, as we said, is a familiar verse and ought to be familiar to a Christian. Amen. And I mean, it's really a good basis to go from and just growing in the Lord for a young Christian. And it's one of the verses that in the RU ministry, in fact, I had some notes of some of this together, whenever it was, a couple months ago, that we had the emphasis on the RU ministry one night. And I told Brother Todd and Brother Johnny to have something ready, and they had more ready than what I did, so I didn't say much that night, and I appreciate that. And this kind of go along with that maybe, but if we had a title tonight, it'd be Crucified with Christ. Crucified with Christ. The Bible says, I am. Paul says, I am crucified with Christ. Another place he says that he was to die daily. And if we really understand what living a Christian life is all about, I believe we'll have to understand that we can't do it within ourselves. You know, most of the time, that's the argument that you hear from young Christians, or you hear from somebody that you're talking to about the Lord, and they're not saved yet. They might say, well, I can't live it. You know, I can't live up to it, and I can't live the Christian life, maybe. They might say that, or they may just recently got saved and they don't know what to do, and they're talking about trying to live it and trying to live up to it. And well, really, if we understand the Scripture right, we'll understand that we can't do it apart from Christ, and the only way we can do it really then is to get self out of the way. That's what Paul's talking about when he says being crucified with Christ. We're crucified with Christ. We have moved ourselves out of the way, and we let the Lord have His will in our life. Like we said this morning, we get in the Lord's will for our life, and we follow after it. So I'm going to look at about four different things that we see in this passage. I believe it's just a tremendous passage in the Word of God. First of all, he says, nevertheless, I live, yet not I. Right there we see our helplessness. We see that we're helpless. Like I said, we might hear somebody say, and I've said this before, when somebody tells me they can't live it, I agree with them. I just go ahead and agree with them. And I say, you're right. You know, that's the problem. You're not to try to, within yourself, have any goodness. That in fact, if we do, it's just not good enough. Amen. If the Bible says that all of our righteousness are as filthy rags, if the Bible says there's none good, no, not one, if the Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, and it says all of that. So we can't live it within ourselves. We have to turn ourselves over to Christ. We have to die daily. We have to crucify this old flesh, because this old flesh will want to rear up and it'll want to take charge. We're always going to have a battle. We have three different enemies we battle with all the time. We battle with the devil, we battle with the world, and we battle with this old flesh. We're always going to have those same three enemies. They're not going to change. It's going to be the same ones. It's going to be the same problems. It's going to be the same thing. The same enticements of this world is going to be used on us. It was used on Adam and Eve. That was used on the Lord Jesus Christ. The lust of the flesh and the pride of life and the lust of the eyes. Those three things is what He pulls out of this world to attract us and to get us away from Jesus Christ. But I tell you what, if we're dead to the world, that'll make a lot of difference, won't it? If we're dead to the world, it'll make a whole lot of difference because we've crucified, praise God, that old flesh. Let me say, first of all, we need to see our helplessness. The Bible says in Romans chapter 6 and verse 6, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with Him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin, for he that is dead is freed from sin. That if we're dead, that's a whole message there before. I thought about that title, some things that a dead man cannot do, and just preach a whole message about that. you can't do nothing, can he? That body's already dead. So that's what God is telling us to do as a Christian, is crucify that old flesh, that old man. Let him be crucified. The Bible tells us in Romans chapter 7, verse 24, it says, O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? Paul many times talked about that battle that he had with that old flesh. I'll never forget preaching a message one time, and I took an old Webster dictionary and just look at what the dictionary said about sin. Then I went through the Bible, some different verses about sin, and there was somebody that didn't believe, or he had been taught all his life about reaching some type of a sinless perfection in this life. And he said after the service, he talked to him after service a couple other times during that week of revival that I preached, and he said, you know what? God's been dealing my heart about this thing, and that message you preached on Wednesday night to start out this revival, he said, it's been in my heart all week long. He said, you know, Paul talked about that battle that he had. He was always battling, wasn't he? Yes, he was. And the Bible tells us he had a thorn in the flesh and the messenger of Satan to buffet him. And God didn't take that away. He prayed three times that God would take it away, and He didn't. There's always going to be a battle in this life. Praise God. It's a whole lot harder when that old flesh is dead. We've crucified that old flesh. Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 5 says, trust in the Lord with all thy heart. Lean not to thine own understanding. That's when we get messed up, ain't it? When we throw our little opinion in, we throw our little 2 cents worth in, and we wrap old flesh, rears up, and wants to take charge and control again. Crucified with Christ. We need to realize that we're helpless without the Lord. Second of all, we need to realize our new identity. The Bible says, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. That's the new life. That's the Christian life. The Bible tells us in Colossians, it's Christ in you, the hope of glory. It's Christ in you is the only merit that we have to cling to is not our own merits, but it's the merit that's been imputed to us by Jesus Christ. It's not our righteousness that we can brag about, but it's the righteousness of the Son of God that's been imputed to us, that's been put on our account, praise God. Now we can say, well, I'm not even living anymore, but Christ is living through me. I'm like I said this morning, we're following after His footsteps. We're walking with Him. We're following after Him like He told the disciples to do. Follow after me. We're in step with the Lord. The Bible says the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. God's put a plan out before our life, and that plan is not for ourselves to be seen and ourselves to be lifted up and for our pride to boast of anything within ourselves, but for us to to turn it all over to Jesus Christ and let the Lord live His life through us. That's what people need to see, ain't they? They need to see Jesus. They don't need to see us. I reminded the little kid that was praying one night, and he was just, and I might have mentioned this recently, but I can't remember where it was at, or what service it was, but there was a kid praying, and he was praying about God being in him, and stopped in the middle of his prayer to ask his parents and talk about it, and said, I can't understand that. What's that? What's that? If God's inside of me, He ought to be sticking out somewhere. He said, yes, son, or I don't know if it was a daughter, son, or daughter. He said, yes, that's right. I guess the way it should be. That was a good message, wasn't it? That the Lord ought to be seen through our lives. People ought to see Jesus in us. Amen. Not see us. Praise God. And I've heard many testify that fact. Praise God. Not see us, but see the Lord. It's not me that's living. I've crucified the old flesh. Christ is living in me. It's Christ. Christ, the hope of glory. I believe if there's any passage that C.H. Spurgeon held on to for many, many years, he talked about that scripture. It says, but we preach Christ and Him crucified. In fact, he had it on the front of all those little penny pulpits. He had that scripture right there. We preach Christ and Him crucified. Hey, listen, if He's not lifted up, then, I mean, in fact, that's what Paul said. God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's only Him that's to get the glory. Amen. Bible tells us in 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. So it's a new identity now that's in Jesus Christ. That's the reason all things are new. That's the reason it's not just turned over a new leaf. But praise God now, it's a new life in Jesus Christ. It's only through Him and through His, you know, what people try to do, they try hard to do better. And they ascertain to that, and their thought is about that, but that try hard to do better mentality really doesn't work. It might do you some good for a while. I'm trying hard, you know. You ever somebody say that? Man, I'm just trying hard to live that Christian life. Well, you're probably failing. Amen? If that's all you're doing, you're trying, you're probably failing. So that try hard to do better mentality doesn't work. What we need to do is rely on somebody that has already took our place, has already done it for us. And you say, well, it's so much easier, praise God, to rely on the Lord that's already finished the work. Yes. Instead of us trying to do the work and add to what He's already done. That's not no good anyhow, is it? That's getting the cart before the horse. What we need to do, praise God, is to realize that He's already done it all for us. Praise God, well, the thing we have to do is believe Him and trust Him. Don't lean to our own understanding, but trust in the Lord. Our new identity is in Christ Jesus. Bible says, and like we said, Colossians 1:26, Christ in you, the hope of glory. John chapter 15, verse 4 says, abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine. No more can ye except you abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. Amen. Amen. Christ in you. Our new identity now is we're hooked up to the vine. Amen. And we're going to produce because we're hooked up to Him. Amen. We're going to produce because now we've been grafted in, so to speak. And we've been placed into the body of Christ. And now the only thing that that really matters is if we're going to turn it over to Jesus Christ and let Him live through us, let Him get the job done through us, then we can bring forth much fruit. I like what that passage talks about. It talks about fruit, more fruit, and then much fruit. Amen. That's just that spiritual progression. If we're living for the Lord and we're serving Him, and our job is to bear fruit. And if we see others get saved, that's fruit. We see a productive Christian life that we're showing forth the fruits of the Spirit. That can be a fruit that'll point folks to Jesus Christ. And then the real fruit is when other folks get saved. So there's fruit, more fruit, and much fruit. Amen. There's fruit because you got saved. Amen. There's more fruit because now you're living for Jesus. And there'll be much fruit because you're going to point folks to Jesus Christ. Amen. That'd be a good message right there. Mel, write that one down. I'll preach that one later. But thirdly, let me say, crucified with Christ, we see our helplessness, we see our new identity in Christ, and then thirdly, we see our faith. He said, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. But then he said, how do I live? I live by the faith of the Son of God. I live now by faith. I'm trusting in the Lord. The Bible says, Romans 10:17, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. We're now listening to the Word of God. We shared this on Friday night, and I'm going to preach a message about that sometime, about that thimble and that bucket. On Friday night, I was saying where the Scripture tells us there about us hearing. You know, and if we got ears to hear, let him hear, the Bible says. Well, praise God. You know, if we're ready and willing to receive something from God, we can grow. Amen. We can live for the Lord. We can serve Him. We can have fruit, much fruit, and more fruit. Or more fruit, much fruit. We can have all of that. Because now we've said, listen, I'm going to heed to your word. I'm going to hear what the word has to say, and I'm going to live by faith. That's how God got a hold of old Martin Luther's heart. Three different times throughout the Scriptures, I believe. Or three different books in the Bible, I believe. A couple in the Habakkuk, and then also in Romans and Galatians, the Scripture says, the just shall live by faith. Boy, he got a hold of that thing. And some of the first writings he ever did was a commentary on the book of Romans and a commentary on the book of Galatians. And God got a hold of him on the thought that what he was doing all of his life was working, trying to work his way to heaven and work his way to salvation. But the Scripture says, the just shall live by faith. We put our trust in the Lord. Like I said, a good acrostic for faith is forsaking all. I trust Him. Put your trust in Jesus Christ. The Bible tells us there that the life I live it by the faith of the Son of God. The Scripture tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 9, know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Then it goes on to name some things. It said, be not deceived, neither fornicators nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of them, selves with mankind. And everybody's saying, amen, that's right, that crowd ain't going in. Nor thieves, amen. Nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, everybody knows that. Nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. And I can imagine if this letter was being read to the church at Corinth, I can imagine that crowd. Some of them being a little self-righteous, they're saying amen to every crowd they said. Yeah, them bunch of drunks. Yeah, them people, them other folks, them extortioners. Like they ain't done nothing. But the next verse says, and such were some of you. Amen. And such were some of you. Not all of them, but some of them were like that. Such were some of you, but ye are washed, but ye are sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. Praise God, there's been a change. We've got a new identity in Christ. And now, praise God, we're living by faith. We're believing Him. We're trusting Him. There's been a change, praise God. Such were some of you. That's past tense, ain't it? That's how it was. But now it's a new life in Christ. Now all things are made new, praise God. Nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life that I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God. What's the rest of the verse say? Who loved me and gave Himself for me. He loved me and He gave Himself for me. Praise God, now he's in charge. In fact, the next verse, I said I was going to give you one verse. Let me give you that last one. He said, I do not frustrate the grace of God. He said, I'm not fighting it no more. Man, I don't frustrate the grace of God anymore. If righteousness came by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. He said, it is by grace. It is by putting my faith in the Lord, because now he's in charge. He's in control. He's my, like Brother John saying, what? He's my father. I'm the clay. He's the potter. He's the one in control. He's the one in charge now. See what I'm saying? Starting out, you know, like I said, somebody's saying, well, I can't live it. I can't do it. Well, the problem is you got eye problems. You need to look to him, not I, not me, not self. Nevertheless, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. The life I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. You know what you have to do, last of all? You have to see our new ownership. It's turned over to him now. You have to relinquish self-ownership. You have to die to self and say, I'm not in charge anymore. He's in charge. He's in control. Like we sung earlier, our name's written in the Lamb's Book of Life. There's a new name written down in heaven. I'm a son of God. We used this verse this morning, Philippians 1:6. He that begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Christ. The Bible says in John 1:12, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. We've trusted him, we're saved. We're saved by his marvelous grace. And now, praise God, we're a child of God. We're a son of God. We're an heir of God and a joint heir with Jesus Christ. It just don't get no better than that. Amen? I mean, it don't get no better than that. But you know what the devil does? The devil tries to talk us out of it. The devil tries to say, man, you ain't doing no good. What you ought to tell him? Well, I ain't no good anyhow. It's just Jesus in me. Amen? He tries to keep us from serving him and living for the Lord. Oh, you can't make it. You can't do it. Oh, no. That's right, devil. But I tell you what, I'm trusting in him. I'm believing in him. He's in charge now. He has ownership now. He's in control now. I've turned it all over to him. Ain't that a blessing? I've said before, after you get saved, get some of them scriptures. Talks about our eternal salvation, like 1 John chapter 5, and like verse 13, these things I write unto you that you may know that you have eternal life. And some of those scriptures, you have a problem, just leave them open, let the devil read them. There's a few other places you can turn. You have any problem with something else, just turn and lay it open to the devil. I'm not in charge anymore, I'm not in control. It's the Lord. It's the Lord. Amen. And maybe we can have some of them good, peaceful dreams. Amen. Amen. I tell you what, it's good to serve the Lord, ain't it? Live for him. I'll ask the musicians to come around with the song. Amen. Thank God for his goodness. And amen. Everyone stand if you would.